place for goal and finishes off the PSG victory.
C'est lancé, Nuno Mendes ravive, Nuno Mendes passe devant Cordano, le tir, oh il est bon celui-là, le but de Nuno Mendes.
You know the football, it is what it is.
Le premier but de Ronald Colomboigny avec le Paris Saint-Germain, à quelle joie.
Hello and welcome to PSG Review, the show not letting you down, unlike the team in Newcastle's early October rain, also known as the show that promises not to try a new tactical approach when it most counts. I rely on already tested methods and bring the changes in a less chaotic way, but such is life. Not very happy about the match that PSG played last night, as I'm recording this on Thursday, but let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, to borrow an old saying, because while I don't have a lot of good things to say about the match itself, it's still a bit too soon to lose the faith in this brand new project. We will struggle to ever achieve much if we always want everything here and now, no delays allowed, but delay is not the same thing as denial. And especially now it isn't, because in life there are falls. We all fall sometimes, and then you can lie down and feel angry or sorry for yourself, or you can say that, okay, that wake-up call has been had and what's next. And undoubtedly that is what Luis Enrique is thinking. We'll get into all of that. And the silver lining in being humiliated is that, you know, you might learn some humility. Sometimes we need that, not to say to apologize for your existence and be sorry for everything, but a little bit of a humility in football also goes a long way. Good to have you listening. My name is Mikko, and you can talk to me online at PSG Review Pod on Twitter and at PSG Review on Instagram, and feel free to share, recommend, rate, and review the show on your podcast platform of choice. In this episode, we will be talking about the Champions League group stage match day 2, as PSG was visiting St. James's Park in the northeast of England in Newcastle upon Tyne, as we already briefly started with that. Later on, we also look at Le Choc, PSG women against arch rivals Lyon, which took place at Parc des Princes on Sunday night. But first to Newcastle, where the Parisian Londoner crew was representing our colours with a few thousand other PSG supporters. This show is made in collaboration with Parisian Londoner. PSG had travelled to England with more or less the best outfit if you set aside the long-term injuries such as Nuno Mendes and Presnel Kimpembe. Marco Asensio was also out, as was Kangin Lee, but on a whole, pretty solid selection was available. The form has been pretty good, I would say, even if the results have been a little bit up and down recently, but Champions League is its own thing, and however good or bad we would be doing domestically, that often is not even a very good indication for the continental campaign at all. Donnarumma in goal, backlined with Hakimi, Marquinhos with the captain's armband, Milan Skriniar and Lucas Hernandez, our trusted new signee Manuel Ugarte as defensive midfielder, with Warren Zaire-Emery next to him, and four attackers, Mbappe, Ramos, Dembele and Colomwani. This formation was a bit of a surprise, especially since against Dortmund we had played really well. We won that match and didn't concede any goals, and the player of that match was Litinia, who was absolutely everywhere then, and now he was on the bench. Newcastle hasn't lost at home a lot in last year. I haven't really double-checked this fact, so bear with me, but I was told by a very reliable source that there has only been two teams who have managed to do it, to win at St. James's Park against Newcastle, and for instance, Manchester City isn't one of them. I think it was maybe Arsenal and Liverpool. Don't quote me on that one, because that's not my point or my particular interest. The take-home message is that they are a remarkable side at home, and also their midfield is formidable. So it was always a little arrogant of Enrique not to choose the formation to match them. Perhaps he thought that PSG could overpower them in attack, but it's difficult to attack if you can't get the ball to the dangerous areas to begin with. Enrique said he takes the blame, which kind of is his job to say that, and indeed do that, to take the blame, and the formation did us no favors. But at the same time, I'm very disappointed with the players. I can't remember ever seeing such an astonishing amount of absolutely awful misplaced passes. They were coming from more or less everyone, and I get that the pitch was wet, which of course it was for Newcastle as well, but it does rain in Paris too. And what we saw, especially in the first half, but throughout the whole match really, was just inexcusable passing by professional players. I was astounded, really. The first Newcastle goal came from one of those misplaced passes. It was Marquinhos who essentially gave them the ball and they tanked by scoring a goal. But like I said, it's easy to point the finger at him, and I'm certainly not excusing him, but it could have been anybody. There were so many of those bad passes all over the pitch. There were so many of them that were worse than what I see in the children's football matches, and it just happened to be one by him that then backfired. PSG was holding the ball. Actually, we had 73.2% of all the possession in this match, but it was hardly ever in any kind of area that would have any consequences other than the threat of losing the possession near our goal and then have a difficult situation to handle. The second goal was very questionable because there was a handball and PSG stopped playing, but the handball didn't count for whatever reason and Newcastle scored a goal. Now, it's perfectly legitimate to ask why the handball was allowed even after the VAR check, but for the life of me, I can't understand how grown men can just stop playing when the referee hasn't blown the whistle. This is what we teach kids on their five-a-side matches. Play until the referee tells you not to. Don't stop because you thought there was a problem. So I wasn't best pleased with that, but that of course doesn't erase the fact that there was a handball and that essentially changed the course of the ball and kept it in play. It was almost like a basketball situation. There were a few other issues that I think were pretty legitimate grievances with the refereeing, but more of that in a bit. So that was 2-0, and the Newcastle side genuinely had the wind beneath their wings. The stadium was pushing them forward. There was a sense of occasion, what with them being back in Champions League after such a long absence from it, and they were celebrating any and every successful move, and their mentality was hard as the concrete frame of Parc des Princes. The third goal was lackluster defending again and sort of hoping for the best kind of thing that pretty much the whole match was, to be honest with you. The best didn't come, even if we were hoping for it. Then PSG got one goal back with a great assist by our best player, in my opinion, Warren Zaire-Emery, and the finish was by Lucas Hernandez with a header. And Newcastle, in their flow state, scored the fourth one, which again, lazy defensive playing with absolutely no sense of urgency. Such is life sometimes. Thanks to Stu from Parisian London for that soundbite from the stadium. The guys were there, the whole crew, and they will have content coming, so make sure you check them out. There's really no two ways about this. Newcastle was good and PSG was bad. I really wish I didn't have to get into this because it always sounds so lame to blame the referee when your team isn't performing, but I need to raise a few issues nevertheless. Not to excuse anything, let me make that clear, but just because they happened. So there was this handball situation that led to the second goal. Then there was a situation where Alexander Isak attacked Lucas Hernandez with such venom that he ended up hurting himself in the process, yet no card for him. Granted, that would have been yellow anyway, so it would not have really changed that much. But the way he was leaping on our left back was pretty out there. But the real question that bothers me is the moments before the halftime. No ball nearby. Bruno Guimarães, the former Lyon player, smacked Manuel Ugarte in the head, like properly punching him, and no red card was given for this very cynical action. It actually reminded me when a few years ago we were playing against Manchester United and Fred headbutted, I think it was Leandro Paredes, and could not even believe himself that he wasn't given a red card. And if Newcastle at this point would have lost a player who had lost his mind temporarily, this could have been a different match altogether, but no such justice was granted to us. I was watching the match with our fan club here in Helsinki, Finland, and one thing to know about Finland and the relationship here with football is that the commentators detest PSG in equal measure as they adore the English teams and believe in their innate, inherent footballing superiority in every situation. Pretty unquestionably, actually. I mean, these people know little about French football to begin with, and based on having to listen to them for 2 hours at a time in a sports bar, they do just enough research on PSG to be able to say all sorts of unflattering things about the club, which aren't necessarily truth, certainly not the full picture, and how they think that PSG is always somehow wrong in every which way. But even these people, even they couldn't understand how it was not a red card, and that says a lot, my friend. It really does, trust me, but it wasn't. And Newcastle got to continue with 11 players. C'est comme ça. It is what it is. Like I said, it's not a massive consolation, but something not to overlook. Okay, this has now irreversibly happened. This match was played and this was the result. The question is, what is next? How will this impact Enrique's plan for the next matches? How will the leaders within the locker room unpack this with their peers? Who are the leaders in the locker rooms to begin with? How to address the situation? We have come to this junction now. What are we going to do about it? That is for the coach and for the players to figure out, of course. Look, I fully get that there are going to be these teething issues. Having a bad match isn't the end of the world. It just isn't. And as with Ligue 1, we have actually really had the grace of other teams around us playing in a way that us dropping points has not been catastrophic too much at all. Even now, we are second in this group, as early as it is, with 1 point behind Newcastle, who played very nothing a match against AC Milan in Italy. AC Milan and Dortmund haven't yet scored even one goal in two matches. Neither of the teams have scored a goal. They have 0 goals. So we are still standing here without any issues of this nature. In the context, this isn't terrible, even if as a match it was pretty awful. It's the future that decides, and for that we are pretty well positioned as things stand. The question is, what's next? And for that, I don't have the answer, of course. I hope that Luis Enrique does. And while I wasn't happy with this tactical choice this time, I think it's quite premature to start pointing the finger beyond these 90 minutes, because I feel like he has an idea, he has a style, and he is trying to find the best formation and selection of players to get what he wants, but it's still very early days, of course. The truth is that it's always much easier to blame one coach than more than 20 players or whatever there are in the squad, but many of the players also had very forgettable match in Newcastle. It's like Mbappe or Colomwani weren't there. I mean, they saw very little of the ball because we were struggling to bring it up to them, but it's not like they offered a lot to compensate for those difficulties. So when they did get the ball, they were just nowhere near on a required level. That's not a controversial thing to say, I don't think, because we all know what they are able to do. It's not a criticism of their level as players or anyone else's level for that matter, but for whatever reason, not many from the squad turned up for this match. Then we had players who were mainly memorable for their errors. It's not good. Zaire Emery was good. Hernandez was okay. And Vitinha, when he came in, he was good. Ugarte had his worst performance in our shirt. I think that's safe to say. But at the same time, he was battling a very strong Newcastle midfield and doing a lot of heavy lifting. I mean, I really think that Enrique must have known that Newcastle has got a very, very, very strong midfield. This is what they do. So it was really confusing to me to see such little reaction to that fact. So it was not an easy night for Ugarte to begin with. It was just too much to ask from him anyways, as good as he is. Now, Gonzalo Ramos wasn't close to scoring a goal. He wasn't amazing, but his defensive efforts remind me of Cavani. He does track back and provide help. He's trying to make runs. I think he will come good, and I do think that this team will come good. You know, this is not time to despair. It's upsetting. It's frustrating. But this is not time for desperation. This is time to regroup and reflect. This is the time to learn from the mistakes, because we've had an overhaul and then some, and this impatience isn't helping. We can be quite spoiled sometimes. We always sort of think that we should be winning the Champions League here and now every season. I think it will happen one day, but it won't be easy. So this season we should just enjoy not having all eyes on us all the time, not having so many of those big names and people saying that anything but winning the Champions League is gigantic failure, because that's not the real world, right? We know that, right? It took Pep Guardiola years to win it with Manchester City. And I'm not saying that Luis Enrique is exactly like him, but we are here now talking about his 9th competitive game as our coach. 9th. 9 matches. So let's not get carried away, even if it would feel very frustrating, which it very much does. I'm very much in agreement with you on that. You know, I'm not happy about it, but also nothing has been lost beyond this one match. This was not a final. This was one match, and like I said, the future only can give us the fuller picture, but those journalists, commentators or fans who are making deep analysis of our entire essence based on one match, it's not clever. It's not the hot take that they think it is. It will get you clicks, and I fully understand that in this attention economy, it's much better to make an outrageous claim than to say, well, it's complicated, as I tend to say that, perhaps to my own detriment, but really, it is because I respect your ability to understand football on a level that isn't purely circling around the cliches and the lowest common denominator. By now, I hope you know that this is a wrong podcast for that stuff. Up next for PSG, we have Stade Rennes on Roanne Park in Brittany. Always a tough match against them, although they have been also on the road. Today, Thursday, as I'm recording, they play Villarreal in Europa League, so they haven't been resting and recovering on their laurels either for this week. And after Rennes, it's the international break once more, and the squad will disperse around the planet. And on 21st of October, we are back with Ligue 1 at Parc des Princes against Strasbourg. PSG football isn't all about the men's team. The youth team beat Newcastle in the UEFA Youth League before the main event. 1-0 last minute goal, great stuff for them. And I will go on record saying that the biggest domestic match in European women's football is the one against PSG and Olympique Lyonnais. You could argue that it's Wolfsburg versus Bayern or Arsenal versus Chelsea, but none of these have played each other in the Champions League final, unlike PSG and OL. It's difficult to say in any specific measure, of course, but it is my view that in the French D1, we have that match to watch and to win. OL, of course, has been incredibly dominant in Europe for many years. Their results have been inarguable, but PSG is only ever so slightly the underdog in this relationship, because for the most part these matches are incredibly even and hard fought, even if the trophy cabinet would suggest otherwise. This, of course, is the very problem of people having more of a glance than inspection in what happens in football. PSG was good on Sunday night. Marie-Antoinette Katoto wasn't ready yet to start. She was playing a little bit, and we had been assuming that. And also the Australian central defender Claire Hunt wasn't available, as of course wasn't Paulina Dudek, who will miss at least very large part of the season for her injury. Very good match, very entertaining, but as Murphy would have it, OL punished from the one error made by PSG. It's pretty textbook stuff, to be honest with you, but I was very happy with the overall performance, with the highlights by our new forward from Malawi, Tapita Chawinga, and our goalkeeper Constance Bicord made also some excellent saves as well. Otherwise, the usual suspects were strong. Georg Grunen, Karchawi, Baltimore, Elisa de Almeida, also solid in defense, where she's growing in stature bit by bit with the likes of Jade Lequille and Viola Caligaris. A very frustrating 0-1 end result. And these matches are so important for the overall season, because in women's division and there's no room to drop points much, and OL and PSG don't tend to drop many during the whole season, even if the other teams are getting better every year. It is quite competitive league, even if it doesn't necessarily always look like that. Yes, you have these two teams on the top, but there's more and more teams every season that are giving them run for their money. This year, there is a slightly new system. Well, it's quite radically new system, actually, where after the season proper, the top four teams will go to the semifinals, first against the fourth and the second against the third, with home field advantage for the team that finished higher on the main part of the season. And the winners of those matches will play the final, which will then decide the French champion. So basically, last minute surprises can take place and nothing is lost until the referee whistles twice in the final. I mean, if you get there, but it has got to be the goal to be there. Basically, the better you do in the actual league, the better positioned you are for the finals. But if PSG isn't in the top four, that's a catastrophic result, and I'm not expecting that at all. Up next, there's an away day against Saint-Étienne on Friday. That's tomorrow as I'm recording. And then it's Champions League qualifier against Manchester United. Only one team from France goes directly to the group stage, so we need to work our way there. And I do hope we can successfully get there as well. That is all for now. Thank you so much for listening to PSG Review. This show is done in collaboration with the Parisian Londoner crew. Look out for all that they have coming from their away trip to Newcastle. You can find, follow, and talk to me online at PSG Review Pod on Twitter and PSG Review on Instagram. And also do share this show. Subscribe if you haven't, and rate and review. Tell a friend. You know the usual. My name is Mikko, and more next time on PSG Review. But for now, thanks for listening, and until next time. Peace.